Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Happy Monday right here on 101.3 ESPN. It is Champlain Valley Game Night, and we're also on 101.3ESPN.com, and we're streaming on the 101.3 ESPN app, and you can find us on your Amazon Echo or Alexa. So look forward to having you in here for the next 25 minutes, and then we'll bring you Sox baseball. Sox taking on the Miami Marlins. That game being played in the Sunshine State. Sox 3-1 since rolling through Tampa. Tough opening day loss, but that's one's quickly forgotten about as the Sox pitching has been phenomenal. So we'll get into all that. We'll tell you what's coming up this week as well. Tuesday, that's tomorrow, trivia at the Burger Bar in Colchester, 7:30 to 9:30. And you know where the Burger Bar is. It's right next to Dunkin' Donuts in Colchester. It's right across from Fannie Allen and pretty much right next to St. Michael's College as well. So if you're in college, you want to come out for a fun Tuesday within walking distance, you can do that. If you're in town and you want to have some fun, then come on out to the Burger Bar. They'll have half-price appetizers. Their food is great. The beer is cold. The community atmosphere in there is a lot of fun too. So we look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Friday, we'll be broadcasting the Huddle and CVGN live 4 to 7 at Natural Provisions in Williston. As for what's coming up on the show today, 6:25 Sox Marlins, some notes on the changing tide of thinking in pro sports. Bill Belichick's against a rule change, and I can't say that he's wrong. I just hate the whole situation that Belichick is even forced to talk about. We'll get into that. But first, I don't know that people realize what is about to happen tonight in the national championship game between Michigan and Villanova. You probably heard of the player from Michigan. His name is Duncan Robinson. Duncan Robinson is going to become the first player ever to play in both the Division I and Division III Final Fours in the Division I and III National Championship games. Duncan Robinson is a senior at the University of Michigan. He's averaged more than 9 points a game in his 3 years at Michigan. When he was a freshman, he starred at Williams College. You know Williams because they play Middlebury. They're in the NESCAC, one of the most elite athletic and academic powers in all of Division III. He was freshman of the year in Division III basketball. He played in the national championship game for Williams College. Again, they lost at the buzzer. And now will play in the national championship game for the University of Michigan. This is a note for parents. If you are a parent and driving around and your kid has aspirations to play college sports, don't discount how good players at Division III are. It's one of the biggest things that I heard when I was coaching. When I was coaching youth baseball, I was coaching 17-year-olds, 16-year-olds, and guys were looking to go to college. You'd say, hey, look at this school. And they'd say, that's Division III. I'm a lot better than that. I was like, I don't think you realize just how good Division III is. When I was coaching in junior college and I would recruit players and I would try to get them to come to junior college, they would look down on it, some of them, and say, I'm a four-year guy. I'm too good for junior college. Junior college is where you go if you have bad grades or you have bad discipline. I'm like, you have no idea what junior college actually is. So if you are a parent and your kid has aspirations of playing college sports, understand just how good some of the talent around the country is and how good some of the talent in some of these levels are. I mean, and think about locally. Plattsburgh State women's hockey, until this year, had won four consecutive national championships. And this year, Norwich wins it. That's Division III women's hockey. And you have players that are playing on national teams across the world. You talk about Division III in this area. Davis Michaels, a CVU kid who's pitching at Castleton State College. I mean, a lot of our listeners probably went to Castleton. Castleton was a top five, I think it might have been number one last year in ERA in baseball, and Davis Michael was a top five ERA pitcher in the entire country. And that's unbelievable. It's happening locally here at the Division III level. And then you expand out even further. Well, look at what's going on athletically at Middlebury and guys that are doing unbelievable things. The talent is very, very real. And it's very, very cool to see a guy in Duncan Robinson who played Division III out of high school and then got to transfer Division I and is now playing in the national championship. And he'll play meaningful minutes today when you know, go blue, when the Wolverines take on Villanova. I don't care who wins this game. I'm rooting for a good basketball game, something that will keep my interest for 2.5 hours. That's what I'm rooting for tonight. But I will be rooting for Duncan Robinson, because every time we talked to a Division III coach and every time I recruited at JUCO, a lot of the message was the same. People don't realize just how good things are right here. People don't realize just how good these talent levels are, just how good these kids are. And, man, it's very real. Very real. Duncan Robinson, kudos to you. And kudos to John Beilein for taking a kid from Division III and recognizing how good he was and giving him valuable minutes. That's a great story. And so, again, if you are a parent and you think that your kid is above Division III, above JUCO, understand the caliber of players that are playing there. 802-655-6672 if you want to get in on the Town Fair Tire text line. We'll get you those Red Sox lineups in 10 minutes as they take on the Miami Marlins. And just one more note on Duncan Robinson. 2014 was the title game he played in at Williams. The national title game was in Salem, Virginia. 2,700 people saw that game. On Saturday, nearly 70,000 at the Alamo Dome. So just the difference, that's the difference right there, the scope that these games are played. But the talent doesn't have the disparity that you would think. Moving to the NFL, an interesting note from John Clayton today. John Clayton, an ESPN insider, also a radio host at 710 ESPN in Seattle. He said, first few weeks of free agency are behind us. There were 23 trades in March. Last year, there were just 8, a lot of dealing. And he's just kind of put that out there on Twitter. And that's a changing sign of the times in the way that NFL teams value players. But it's not just the NFL. Teams in general have different philosophies now about team building. Teams are not as willing to give massive deals. And we saw this a lot in baseball this year. That's why it's so poignant for us to figure this out and just see the parallels. Baseball showed us this. Teams weren't jumping down the door to give JD Martinez 7 years, $200 million. Teams have been burned by those kind of deals too many times before, and now they're starting to wise up. Look, what do we want? Shorter-term deals, incentive vesting option contracts, player options where guys can get out of the deal and we're not saddled financially for 7, 8 years. We want young, controllable assets that are 5, 6 years left on their deals that are going to be inexpensive. That's what baseball teams want. That's what baseball teams value. NFL teams, they covet draft picks. They covet rebuilding and team building through the draft. And it's what I've said about the Giants so much, that they need to hit in their draft and get 4 or 5 guys. Well, it becomes easier to do that when you get 8 picks, 9 picks, 10 picks. Seahawks are looking for draft picks. My Seahawks are looking to get back to the top of the NFC. They know they're in a bit of a, maybe not a full rebuild, but a retool mode. So they trade Michael Bennett. They didn't just cut him. They traded him. They said, look, we'll extract any value we can out of this guy. That's what NFL teams want. They covet draft picks. They value draft picks. Teams across sports are not as willing to give guys those big money deals for long term that they were willing to 3, 4 years ago. I know now it's an easy call to say the Celtics were right to not marry themselves to Isaiah Thomas. But last season we were saying, man, might have to lock up Isaiah for 5 years. And I was okay with doing it for 3, 4 years. I wouldn't have given him the Supermax deal, but I would have given him a 3, 4 year deal. Well, teams, they don't want to do 4 years for $115 million for Isaiah Thomas. They want the young, controllable draft pick who they can develop and then who can become a star and they can sign. And because if they had him first, they can sign him for his bird rights and all this confusing jargon in the NBA collective bargaining agreement. It pays to draft and develop your own star. Draft picks are what people want. Look at how the Celtics have done this. Because of the draft picks they got from Brooklyn, they were able to get Kyrie Irving in a trade, draft Jason Tatum, draft Jaylen Brown. Those are all on Brooklyn's picks. That's what teams want. That's what teams covet. And that's why in the NFL you're seeing more and more trades. Teams are willing to trade proven commodities for draft picks because draft picks help you ascend quicker and it helps your team get younger, get more athletic, get more physical, get more hungry. and get more inexpensive so that when the right free agent is there, you can accentuate your roster, complement your roster, and you're not an old and aging and off-injured team. Look at what the Giants have done. Two off-seasons ago, the Giants made all the big splashes, and Jerry Reese tried to save his job by getting established veterans, and he got Damon Harrison and Olivia Vernon, and he got Janoris Jenkins, and he made three humongous deals. And it worked for a year, but last year, injury catches up to guys, and guys miss time. And now what are the Giants? The Giants are saddled with older veteran players, not a lot of draft picks, and they're not in a position to win now. So what are we talking about the Giants maybe trading Odell Beckham Jr. for? That's for one reason, to get draft picks. Teams value these kind of players. That is why trades are now more prevalent in the NFL. That's why trades are more prevalent in baseball. Look at what teams are doing. They want young, controllable pieces, and they want draft picks in the NFL. So it's a very interesting shift in how team building happens. It used to just be, well, let's just throw money at it and get as many, get a huge collection of all-stars. That's what the Yankees did. It's what the Red Sox did. Now it's about, nope, we're not willing to part with some of these guys. We're not willing to part with some of this international slot money because we want to sign young players to long extended deals and get guys on rookie contracts, and that's what we value. That is the statement, that is the change in the tide of team building. So Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. At the NFL owners' meetings last week, there was a lot of talk about implementing the Josh McDaniels rule. And what that would say is that teams could hire a coach during the playoffs. Right now, you cannot hire a coach until their season is over. So Josh McDaniels was not officially hired by the Indianapolis Colts. And the reason why is because the Patriots season was not over. And then it was expected that the day after the season ended, he was going to become the Colts coach. So the Colts stopped looking and the Colts were burned. So the NFL said, let's make a rule that, or that it was proposed at least, let's make a rule that a coach can be hired during a season or during the postseason, but yet he'll continue out his track with that team. That rule got voted down, and Bill Belichick was one of the biggest reasons why. And he said, we work hard to get in the playoffs. We tell our fans we're doing everything possible to win the biggest games of the year, and we do everything to eliminate distractions. And then in the middle of that, we announce one of our coaches is now the coach of someone else, and he's going to coach for us until the end of the year. He also adds, if you've been hired by one team, you're continuing to coach your original team. And then you talk with some of the assistants you work with about joining your staff. Shouldn't that be tampering? That was to the Monday Morning Quarterback and Peter King. You know what? He's not wrong. I don't know the right answer to this. I hate what Josh McDaniels did. The Colts shut down their search because they were under the impression that McDaniels was joining the staff. He lied to them. He duped them. He made himself look bad. He made the Colts look like a fool. It was a terrible look for the NFL. It was a terrible look for the Colts, who had egg on their face, and it's an awful look for McDaniels. And I said the day after, you should be allowed to hire a coach. I mean, look, Scott Frost coached at Central Florida knowing he was going to Nebraska. And you know what? Yeah, maybe he had to work a little harder, but he was able to do it. But I see Belichick's point also. I don't know what the right answer to this is. Maybe the right answer is simply no one can be hired until after the Super Bowl. And then you leave yourself a 3.5-week window to hire a coach and get ready for the combine. Or you push the draft back later so the combine can go later, and you push mini camps later. I mean, if you do that where you can't start everything until late, you know, you can't hire until after the Super Bowl, you're going to have to push back the entire league year. That's going to throw a massive wrench in the league calendar. I get that that's hard to do too, but I know that what happened with the Colts is not fair. But I know that Belichick is right too, that we tell our fans that we want to win and then we have these massive distractions. I get that too. I don't know what the right answer is, but I know there needs to be something figured out, because what McDaniels did, that isn't right and that should not be done. Champlain Valley Game Night here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Again, you can get in always, 802-655-6672. Sox and Marlins coming up here less than 10 minutes from now. We'll send you out to the boys who are out in Miami, and the Red Sox are 3-1. But first, Let's get you those Red Sox lineups.
It's almost that time. Baseball is in the air, and the Red Sox are about to take the field. So let's give you the lineups and the pitching matchup right now on your home for Red Sox baseball, 101.3 ESPN.
The Red Sox are 3-1. The Marlins are 2-2. The Marlins might be one of the worst teams in baseball this year, but they did show up and show out in their opening four-game set against the Chicago Cubs, a team that many people felt are going to be in contention for the National League pennant. The pitching matchup today, Brian Johnson, he makes his first start of this year, the lefty for the Sox. He starts the season on the big league roster for the first time, and it's his first start in his home state. He'll take on the Marlins. He was a former hitter at the University of Florida, and he'll get a chance to hit tonight as we play by National League rules. On the mound for the Marlins, one of their top prospects, Trevor Richards, is going to get the ball, number 22 prospect in the Marlins system. He had a 2.53 ERA across two minor league levels last year. Lineups for the Sox, leading off in right field, Mookie Betts. He's hitting 286 in the early going. No homers, no RBIs with a steal. Andrew Benintendi, hitless to start the season. He had an off day yesterday. He hit second and plays left. Hanley Ramirez, the former Marlin, goes back to Miami. He is at first base, hitting 250. Rafael Devers hits cleanup today. He's at third, 250. No homers, but four RBIs. Xander Bogaerts, he's been red hot in the early going. 471 average, a homer, and two ribbies. Eduardo Nunez hits sixth and plays second. Jackie Bradley Jr. hits seventh and plays center. Christian Vasquez catches and hits eighth. Brian Johnson, he is the pitcher, and he is hitting ninth as well. No J.D. Martinez in the lineup. We have to presume he'll be back in the lineup tomorrow in the outfield, but no designated hitter in Miami. Lineup for the Marlins, a lot of names you won't know. Lewis Brinson, one of the top prospects in baseball. They acquired him from the Milwaukee Brewers this offseason. He leads off in center. Derek Dietrich, he hits second and plays left, hitting 316. Starlin Castro, the former Yankee, he hits second, hitting 294 in the early going. Brian Anderson plays third. Justin Bour in the home run derby last year, but off to a slow start, 143. Cameron Maben is in right field. Miguel Rojas, a prospect, is at shortstop. Brian Holiday, he is the catcher, hitting 250. And Trevor Richards is the pitcher. That'll do it for us here today on the Huddle and Champlain Valley Game Night. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow as well. And tomorrow, remember, is a short show because the Red Sox will take on the Marlins tomorrow, and that game will be a 6:10 start. So you got to get us early tomorrow. No Champlain Valley Game Night. The Huddle just from 4 until 5:30. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Sox baseball next.